And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM. It's 6 o'clock, it's a Tuesday, and that means it's time for another edition of Off the Wall. Very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
And a good evening to you.
It is a good evening. A bit cold, but, you know, it's winter, or it should be winter. It's going to be winter soon. And a note on this particular program, we are short this week. This is only a 45-minute program because there's a basketball game scheduled for 6:45. And I believe we're playing Columbia. So best of luck to the team for that contest. But we have plenty to talk about in the 45 minutes that we do have. Well, actually, it's less than that now because of the theme. And then we got the outro and me bantering about this. It's, before you know it, there's no time.
Time marches on, and indeed. So what do you have? I mean, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. I feel fine, you know. Yeah, you know, not maybe quite as lively as I usually do. You know, I feel okay. I feel in one piece.
I was just thinking about how I kind of surface a little bit, try to stay informed, but I'm deeply involved in just being ready for things, being kind of on my game, feeling good about things, mm-hmm. and taking care of real life, not being too out of balance with technology and news and stuff.
No, I haven't been paying any attention to what's going on today at all. I don't know. You know, I'm completely ignorant. I have no idea what happened in the news today. Well, you know, or yesterday even, or I don't know how long it's been since I've actually paid attention to the news, and it feels kind of good, you know? It feels kind of good to not have to worry. I do have news. I have stories I can read here, but they might be outdated. You don't know.
Do you want to talk about the outdoor activity we're doing?
Outdoor activity. What did we do outdoors? I don't know. Were we chasing somebody?
Well, it's really cold.
It's really cold. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and sometimes it gets a little warmer. Sometimes it gets really cold. You don't know.
Yeah, and honestly, we've been taking care of this one area with plants.
Oh, the garden.
Yeah, well, it's been neglected the last couple seasons.
Formally, it's a garden, but yeah, legally, I don't think it is.
Luckily, though, I brought some tools. You brought some tools out. We did a little survey, and let's just say we initiated some stuff. We are preparing for an interesting spring.
We planted bulbs.
Yeah, bulbs for the first time. Yeah. I've never planted bulbs. I was familiar with them.
Bulbs, you plant them, and they stay in the ground, hopefully, and then they sprout in the spring.
Yeah.
They spend all winter planting, and they come out in the spring.
Yeah, it turns out this is the time to put those in the ground if you haven't done it already. So hopefully that'll look cool.
Yeah.
And it just reminds me of home, reminds me of growing up.
But we didn't say what we planted. Yeah. I don't think we said what we
planted. Oh, yeah, daffodils.
Daffodils, yes.
Yeah.
Because they apparently do quite well. And they're deer resistant, I hear. So we'll see about that. Yeah, deer have been they have a bit of an attitude lately.
Yeah. It felt good to kind of shoo them away,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know, take control a little bit, clean things up. It's amazing once you go out with one task and you end up doing like a dozen other things while you're out there, and it doesn't take much to take something that's quite neglected, but replanting. I think we were planting marigolds, which we want to do mm-hmm. more of, but. This area is now going to have a different form of plant life, so we'll see how it goes. There's more pruning and raking. And
didn't do well with the sunchokes this year. The sunchokes kind of died, like, towards the end of summer. I think it might have been because of those spotted lantern flies. It's possible. Or it could have been because we didn't pay any attention to them. I don't know. I'm not sure which it was.
It was so busy. We were just really distracted, too, just with everything going on. And it felt good to just kind of get back out and do that. So if you haven't, it's just doing it. It might be therapeutic.
It feels good talking about gardening in December. It does.
It's strange, but yeah. It is. There is an activity to do gardening or farming or whatever all year round. There's always something to do outside if you're designing a spot, and I just feel so lost because I'm not a great designer. I don't know what I have in mind. I really have like a huge vision, but it feels like I'm picking away at it as we go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But anyway,
you know what else is good? 2 a.m. pasta.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had 2 a.m. pasta the other night, and it's just, that's the time to do it. I mean, when you're in Italy, that's what people do. They just, you know, all of a sudden, hey, you want pasta, and they make it at 2 in the morning. And we do it too. And what you came up with, Kyle, was simply incredible. Angel hair and garlic and parsley and hot peppers. Oh, my goodness. And that just really added to it, hot peppers in pasta.
Yeah, it was like watching some videos online and looking at just simple stuff to do with things you have in your pantry. And I had every single one of these things, stuff left over from the holiday cooking, like parsley. And it was just the perfect meal. I feel like I'm always getting better with when you try those kinds of things, like cooking and things you don't do all the time, but maybe you come back to. There's always room for improvement, so I love practicing all those skills, and mm-hmm. and also your company, you know, just working on those things. It's a great social thing to do, and a way to have all kinds of conversations in the process.
Yep, absolutely. Well, shall we dive into things that have been going on over the past week or so?
Sure.
Obviously, they involve immigration and things like that, you know. Yeah, I got to say, just on a personal level, we were recently in a place, I'm not going to give out names, but recently in a place that's shutting down pretty soon. A place I've been going to for, you know, a while for food. Talked to the chef for the first time ever. You know, he'd always be there, but I never actually talked to him. And this is somebody who's been there for decades, you know. And I realize this guy, you know, I don't know his immigration status. I don't want to know his immigration. It doesn't matter. These things aren't important. But I'll bet it matters to him as far as how he could be harassed just for walking down the street. And this is a guy who's made so many lives so much better over the time that he's been doing what he does and won't be for much longer. But just to have that kind of interaction and realize, wow, you know what? You mean a lot to me. You really have changed my life. And apparently, you know, I meant something, you know, going in and out of the place once a week at least. And, you know, I think it's so important for us to foster those relationships and say hello. I mean, I would say hello, but I never actually had a conversation until just a few days ago. The people who are working their asses off, you know, just to make our lives better, they are among the best people in the world, and they are the people who are being terrorized right now because they don't have the right papers as far as the current regime is defining them, whereas before it was certainly a lot more tolerant of basically having a process. You know, we're not talking about people who are going around committing crimes, and we never have been talking about that. And apparently, the Trump regime wasn't talking about that either, because the people they're going after are mothers, grandmothers, children. It's insane what we're seeing. What we're seeing with ICE. And I think more people are standing up to that. More people are realizing, boy, this is not what I bargained for, and this does not represent me. And they're protecting people, and I think we all need to protect people because they're our neighbors, they're our friends, they're doing so many good things for us. And obviously, you know, not everybody is, but can we say the same of the people who were born here, that everybody is a perfect or even a positive role model? There are imperfections with everybody, but I would say for the most part, these are hardworking people that are being victimized and silenced. I mean, you know, being afraid to walk down the street, literally, that is what people are going through in our neighborhood right now. And if you don't feel that kind of fear, then I think you have an obligation to stand up against imposing that on other people. And I hope we see more of that in the new year. You know, I hope we see people standing up to ICE and stopping them from doing what they're doing, you know, as far as going after peaceful people who have not committed crimes, who are simply trying to make a living and are doing a great job and making our lives better. Anyway, Zoran Mandani, the incoming mayor of New York City, on Sunday posted a video to social media explaining immigrants' right to refuse to speak to or comply with agents from U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the aforementioned ICE. And that's days after federal agents carried out a raid in Manhattan. Now, in the video, Mandani vowed to protect the city's 3 million immigrants. 3 million immigrants. Think about that. Saying, "We can all stand up to ICE if you know your rights." He explained that people in the U.S. can choose not to speak to federal immigration agents. They can film them without interfering. They can refuse their request to enter private spaces. And I guarantee there are facts here that most of us don't know. ICE agents cannot enter spaces like a home or a school or a private area of a workspace without something called a judicial warrant that is signed by a judge. Not the kind of warrant that they print themselves on the laser printer and wave around. It doesn't have a signature of a judge. It means nothing. So you have to make sure that they're following the law. And you know, that is kind of important. The law is what this is all about. ICE is legally allowed to lie to you, but you have the right to remain silent. If you're being detained, you may always ask, am I free to go? Repeatedly, until they answer you. That's Mondani saying this. The incoming mayor of New York City. I feel good about him. I really do. He is not going to drop this. He's not going to be intimidated. This is what we need. And he's being sworn in on January 1st. So if Netanyahu decides to drop by, he'll be on a plane to The Hague pretty soon afterwards, I hope. His comments came a week after demonstrators gathered as ICE attempted to detain people on Canal Street near New York's Chinatown. A similar immigration sweep in the same neighborhood last October was also met with protest, and every single one afterwards will be as well. New York will always welcome immigrants. I will fight each and every day to protect, support, and celebrate our immigrant brothers and sisters, Mondani said in the video. And again, don't forget, weeks earlier, he had a surprisingly cordial Oval Office meeting with Trump, whose administration is carrying out these raids throughout U.S. cities. I think New Orleans is the latest one to be targeted. Now, that relationship, don't expect that to last much longer because it's not sustainable. You can't be sending federal troops into cities and expecting those cities to, bow down and beg for more. To be continued. We'll see what happens. Now, as far as here on Long Island, there was an ICE protest that was held during the Islip Town Hall holiday parade and tree lighting on Saturday. This story from Newsday. Holiday cheer clashed with calls for change as more than 100 protesters gathered across from Islip Town Hall to denounce a controversial agreement the town has with ICE during its annual holiday parade and tree lighting on Saturday. Lining a metal barricade, protesters chanted ICE out now and waved signs that read, our home is Islip, not Islip. I-C-E-L-I-P. It's clever. I don't know what it means, but it's clever. Whatever. Festive floats were passing by playing Christmas carols. Hundreds of other people lined Main Street awaiting Santa's arrival. As town officials lit the tree, demonstrators projected ICE out of Islip onto Town Hall. You see this picture here, Kyle? It's really cool.
I do see that. It is right across the top of the building above the windows there. Yeah.
And you can do that, too, with, what, a projector or some kind of a...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If it's strong enough, yeah. There's lots of different projects and ways to do it.
You can project things onto sidewalks. You can project things onto all sorts of things. It's definitely worth investigating and learning about. A community activist group known as Islip Forward. They're the folks that send the alerts to phones, telling people when there are ICE alerts. And I just figured out how to program my phone so that it emits a loud siren whenever there is an ICE raid somewhere, so everybody around will know. And that's really cool. But Islip Forward is a group that advocates for immigrants' rights, and they organize this protest to disrupt the town's holiday event. They aim to amplify their plea for town officials to cancel the contract. I haven't told you what the contract is. It allows ICE agents to train at the town-owned shooting range on Freeman Avenue. Now, is that really necessary, to train at a shooting range? What exactly are you planning here? And if you are a bona fide ICE agents, you should already know how to shoot things. Whatever. While families were crying out, while children were losing parents, while our community was living in a state of fear, the town of Islip, our town, continued its disgraceful agreement with the Department of Homeland Security. That's according to Ahmed Perez, the group's founder. Across the street, you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch, blared out of a speaker on the town's show mobile. Wait, was that coming from the town, or was that coming from the protesters? You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch? I think it was just a bit of irony.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
It's probably part of the program.
Yeah, probably was. Not very smart. Protesters shouted, shame on you, as town supervisor Angie Carpenter arrived. Carpenter said the town respects the right to peacefully protest, but said choosing to hold a demonstration during the holiday festival seems rather Grinch-like. Okay, first of all, you're the one playing the Grinch, okay? Second of all, The purpose of a demonstration, I can't believe I had to explain this, the purpose of a demonstration is to reach people. You reach people when they're gathered in a particular place together. And a holiday parade or tree lighting ceremony is a great way to do that. And, you know, it wasn't disrupting it. It wasn't preventing it from happening. It was simply adding a little color. She goes on to say, disrupting a family-focused event does a disservice to our residents, particularly the many children who look forward to Santa's arrival each year. Can I just counter that by saying disrupting family-focused lives in homes and businesses does a disservice to our residents as well, particularly for the many children who find their parents being thrown out of the country or having their family split up. And they don't get to have Santa arrive that year. How is that? She continued, events such as this were created to unify our town and foster togetherness, not an environment of divisiveness. Well, then stop trying to literally divide people. Let people live their lives in peace. That's all that's being asked. If that's so difficult, you're in the wrong position. Period. ISLIP's agreement with ICE came on... Yeah, ISLIP. That's right. Okay, now I get it. ISLIP, ICE, it's just... it's too similar. It came under scrutiny earlier this year amid Trump's mass deportation initiative and reports that agents were detaining immigrants on Long Island without prior criminal records. Government records show the town has a 5-year contract with the Department of Homeland Security for use of the town range. It's a $63,000 deal, which doesn't seem like a whole lot for 5 years, having ICE in your neighborhood. But it's set to expire in June, this June coming up. So that means they've been here since before Trump. So, okay, well, pledge not to renew it. How about that? That's a good start. ISLIP councilman Jorge Cuadron, a Democrat, has introduced motions to suspend ICE access to the range, but failed to get support on the town's 5-member board, which I think is shameful. They have literally sacrificed the immigrant communities that they represent for such a small price tag. Of the town's 339,000 residents, 118,000 identify as Hispanic or Latino. We don't need this. We do not need this, not on Long Island. And, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Remember that that woman out east who was arrested for trying to stop ICE agents from detaining a man out in West Hampton. East End residents are rallying behind her when she tried to stop ICE from detaining a man in West Hampton. They say they have a message for her. We've got your back. The residents started an online fundraising campaign that has raised thousands of dollars. They also are sending messages of solidarity to Tamara Mayorga Wong of 57, who faces charges of obstructing a federal proceeding. I think it was incredibly brave and important what she did last month near the post office. That's according to Anita Boyer, who organized the fundraising campaign. She works as a mail carrier, Mayor Wong does. There is a huge difference between police officers or even properly identified federal agents executing legal warrants and masked, unidentified people snatching people out of Dunkin' Donuts out of their court hearings. Now, again, reminder, they do not have judicial warrants. And if they don't have those, they are basically kidnapping people if they grab them off the streets. You know, imagine that. We want to deport this person. All right, well, let's print up a form that says we're going to deport this person. There we go. Does that sound right? Does that sound like that's the way it should work? No, you go to a judge, you say this person has overstayed their welcome, or they are a threat to the community, or they've broken some kind of a law, or whatever. And the judge says, yes, that's valid, and signs it. Well, at least you have a warrant in that particular case. You can still fight the warrant. You can still say that warrant is unfair, and there should be process. There always has been in this country. But when you don't even have that, I think we all have the obligation to do what this woman did, and open the door and let them out and do whatever you can to disrupt what these people are doing. The fundraiser that they're having sends a larger message to the community that if you stand up when you see something like this happening, the community is going to have your back. I like to think that. Fortunately, not all communities are as nice. Mayoga Wong was suspended without pay from her job at the post office the day of her arrest and has no income currently, said her lawyer, who basically works for the Federal Defenders, a nonprofit legal organization. She is an immigrant herself from Latin America. She is a U.S. citizen, but don't think Trump won't try to get her thrown out anyway. What she saw that day looked to her like a kidnapping of a person she knew, and she intervened. If you see somebody you know being kidnapped, what would you do? You know, you can't just assume that the people are valid as far as what they are engaged in. They're wearing masks. They're not identifying themselves. They don't have the proper paperwork. We have an obligation as citizens, as human beings.
A lot of what you'd said had me thinking about how they're going after the most vulnerable in society under the auspices of them being this enormous threat, and that is somehow a justification to have people who are, I guess, now training in your community and bringing this overwhelming force to people because they can, because they have been given permission to even be reckless about it and completely, acting with impunity, complete impunity, and without regard to that process or to what people's stories are, and it really it is not getting better without people intervening, without people showing support and sharing information, and really telling it like it is as well.
Yeah.
It's so obvious and not normal.
It is not normal. We can never let it become normal. And, you know, I realize just, you know, talking about this and thinking about it, how many of those relationships we have with people who we see, you know, however many times we enter a particular shop or restaurant or a convenience store, you know, people who work harder than anybody else we know. And yet somehow they are treated as sub-citizens. They are subject to all kinds of harassment. And even those people who are in the country legally and have followed all the paperwork, they are still subjected to this because it doesn't matter to people who have made blanket assumptions. I mean, look at what Trump did with people from Afghanistan, people from Somalia. It's sick. It's not who we are, and we can't let ourselves slide into this. Not again. So, you know, those of us who feel secure, those of us who know where we can't be deported, you know, I think if these relationships mean anything to us, we have an obligation to fight to help these people. And that goes for in the courts, that goes for lobbying, but it also goes for if you see something happening that is not right, you step in. You step in. It's, you know, it's called, you know, being a hero, even though it's basically just doing what felt natural, like all heroes say. You can tell. You can tell when a criminal is being apprehended and when a family person, you know, someone's father, someone's mother, someone who's just working hard, someone who's in a library, you know, in a store, walking down the street, to have a van pull up, to have people surround them and throw them in the van and drive away. Does that sound like America to you? Because it sure as hell is not what I thought I was involved in this country. All right, you know, I said there are some not-so-nice neighborhoods. Nassau County, with our disgusting county executive, Bruce Blakeman, has transferred at least 64 people into the U.S. Immigration Customs Enforcement's custody. And they intend to continue doing that. Blakeman said the partnership will continue with ICE. It includes the deputization of county officers to serve as federal immigration agents. The New York Civil Liberties Union has condemned the county's actions in partnering with ICE, saying that permitting county officers to act as federal agents undermines public safety and fosters public distrust. Now, imagine you need the help of a cop, but that cop is also deputized to be an immigration officer, and you're not sure your papers are completely in order. And don't forget, it doesn't take much. People who are going to court for the final step in getting their green cards are being deported. You know, they've done everything right. They're on track to become citizens. And because somebody decrees something from somewhere, it's got nothing to do with you, you get split from your family at that point, and you may never see them again. That is the reality people are facing right now. So that uncertainty, could that happen to me? Could that happen, you know, because I haven't finished the final step yet? You know, it's not my fault. I'm waiting for a court date or whatever. Or you have a green card already and people can still be deported. So would you call a cop if you needed a cop? Probably not. You might not even call an ambulance if you need an ambulance because you don't know who is deputized in that damn county. It's awful. It is awful what they are doing. And while Blakeman is a horrible person, I blame the people who keep putting him back in power. Why do you keep electing people like this? You cannot be surprised when bad things happen from bad people. Nassau County's partnership with ICE is unique, as neither neighboring Suffolk County nor New York City has established a similar arrangement, and they still largely restrict their cooperation with the federal agency. Individuals detained by ICE are not intended to be held in county jails or non-federal immigration detention facilities, but Nassau County has enacted such actions. Suffolk had a similar agreement but broke it off after a lawsuit found the county violated state law and the Fourth Amendment by detaining hundreds of immigrants past their release dates at the request of ICE. So we have to make sure they do not go back on that. It's really sad, you know. I want to be happier at this holiday season, but people are going through hell. They really are. And how about this story? Federal officials say they arrested a visiting professor at Harvard last Wednesday. That was weeks after he fired a pellet gun near a synagogue. Officials accused him of anti-Semitism. The professor, Carlos Portugal Gouveia, who lived near the synagogue, said he was hunting rats nearby. And local police and leaders of the synagogue have said they don't believe anti-Semitism played a role in the event. They don't believe it. The cops and the synagogue say this is not anti-Semitism. But ICE officials are saying, oh, yes, it is, because this gives us a way to get him out. That's what we're dealing with. Federal officials revoked the professor's visa. They've continued to assert a belief that the attack was anti-Semitic. First of all, to correct the New York Times here, it's not a belief. They don't believe it. They know it's a lie. They're using this. They're using this as a tool to get what they want, which is a lily-white America again. That's what making America great is to them. There is no room in the United States for brazen, violent acts of anti-Semitism like this, said Tricia McLaughlin, spokesperson for the Department of Homeland Security. So basically, you're saying that if you shoot a rat, that's anti-Semitism. So you're saying that Jews are rats. Yeah, I can play this game too. I can accuse you of all kinds of things. If the synagogue says it's not anti-Semitism, I think I'm going to go with that, not you. Not you. I could read more of what she has to say, but why? What's the point? Hamid Dylan, a Trump official who heads the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division, which is a joke, responded to the episode on social media. Do not mess with houses of worship or people of faith in our country. Yeah, I replaced one idiot with a different idiot. Leaders for the synagogue basically said that it's potentially dangerous to use a BB gun in such a populated spot, but it does not appear to have been fueled by anti-Semitism. Rabbi Hershey Zarkey of Harvard Shabbat also said in a speech on campus in October the event was not motivated by anti-Semitism. Said this in a speech. This man is married to a Jewish woman and has Jewish children, and it's absolutely nothing to do with targeting the Jewish community. You think any of that is going to matter? No, because ICE is going to do what ICE is going to do. They don't respond to requests for comment. They don't explain their actions. They just spread fear and intimidation. Okay, we are almost out of time. As I said, this was an abbreviated show. I just want to point out a couple of things. NYPD Commissioner Tisch, you know, the commissioner that is being kept by Mayor-elect Mondani, she has apologized to him after her brother called him the enemy of Jewish people. Yeah, that is something. I wish I could spend more time on these stories, but we're just going to be quick about it. Border czar Tom Holman, another joke, said he supports Trump's attempts to target Somali immigrants in Minnesota, despite the fact the president called the community garbage. He said, I agree with 100% of what he's doing. Well, that means you agree with that, too. 100% is 100%. I know you guys don't know math, but... And Trump himself, oh boy, if you don't believe that he's filled with hatred and is a despicable person, this is, you know, you could say it's a minor thing, going to national parks and having days where there's no admission fee. He basically took away that particular honor from Martin Luther King Day and Juneteenth. Used to be you can go to national parks in those days and admission was free. Nope, not anymore, because Trump has it in his head that those are not valid holidays. Martin Luther King Day and Juneteenth. Think about that. Oh, but he is making up for it. You know how he's making up for it? It's free admission on his birthday. Yeah. Come on, people. This is enough. What is it going to take? I think the bigger question at this point is, okay, so what do we do? Well, damn. If we had our usual time for the show, I think I'd spend that 15 minutes explaining that part. But we're just going to have to wait. We're just going to have to wait till next week because we have a game coming up, and it's an important game with Columbia. But, Kyle, I guess this is a good point to say that for those who don't know, well, you want to just tell people what this show actually isn't what it appeared to be?
Well, in reality, like what we could be and are planning to be and are thinking about being in the future and at this very moment?
More or less, yes.
You want me to really divulge that?
I think we...
Right here on the radio?
Why not? Because, you know, it's truth. We talk truth here.
Oh, we're going on an adventure.
We're going on an adventure, and we're not live. That's really what I was focusing on. But we're already on the adventure.
We could be live because we do have the ability to connect. But of course, somebody else is at both of the radio stations, all the radio stations. But you know what? We're not that dangerous.
No, we're not.
Well, we're a threat, but you know, we're well behaved.
All right. As long as we're still viewed as a threat.
At least on these airwaves.
Well, the point is, we are somewhere. We're not sure where, because actually, when we're recording this, not exactly sure what our itinerary is. That's an adventure. That is the epitome of an adventure.
Well, we know we're leaving.
Yeah, we know that much.
And we're planning on making arrangements to come back.
It depends. It depends on the people. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
America, you got to do better, okay? If we're going to come back, you got to do better.
Just right? Like what we have to do, America, we're going to take it one step at a time.
Yeah.
Do our best.
Yeah. We're going to try to fix things from remote.
Yeah, we're going to mend some fences.
Yeah, yeah, more or less. Build a few more fences.
Really,
then tear them down.
Really big ones, and then tear them down.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we can share some of our adventure, I guess, next week.
I think it's fun. We've done it before, not in a while though.
You can guess where we might be or where we might be next or something like that. But we have to go now because the game is coming up. OTW@2600.com is our email address. Please stay tuned for basketball against Columbia. And I guess we'll see you next week.
Don't forget the microphone.
No. No, not this time.
Good night.
Bye.
During World War II, the Russians were testing their parachutes. Sometimes the chutes didn't open, and a lot of troops were lost this way. During the invasion of Finland, hundreds of troops were dropped during the middle of winter. As usual, some of the chutes didn't open, and the troops fell straight down into the deep snow, drilling holes 15 feet deep. The Finnish farmers would then get out their shotguns, walk out into their fields, find the holes, and fire down them. During the 1979 drought in the Midwest, American farmers began to rent their property to the United States government as sites for missile silos. They were told some of these silos contain Minutemen missiles, and some do not. Some are designed to look like ordinary corn and grain silos. The military called these the decoy silos, but the farmers called them the scarecrows. The government also hinted that these silos might be connected by hundreds of miles of railroad in an underground shuttle system. This is the breadbasket. These are the crops. The shot heard round the world. The farmers, the Minutemen, the farmers, the ones who were there. shut down.